sad that my mother's brother died. I know that the last conversation we had, we talked about Kenny and the rest of her brothers and just all that. Just standing in the gap, if you have a, you know what it's like to be an older sibling or a sibling that's responsible and the rest of them are kind of irresponsible, you know what that's like. And I'm so used to seeing her right there just cheering me on. So I'll have to look over there and over here. So amen, I got an amen corner. Pray with me, saints. Father God, we thank you. Father, we are few, but we are mighty. We believe, God, the word of God pierces everything and can change everything. We believe that, God, your word is all we need. There is nothing more important than the word of God for the people of God. For one day we'll be judged according to how we acted according to your word. Your word is it. It is light to us. It is food for us. Our souls desire nothing more but to hear your word come back to it, so it can be nourished, that we will be strong men and women of the faith. For it's the faith of God that the world needs to see you in us. Bless now, God, with your word, that it may be nourishment to these souls, that they may be able to say, God spoke today. This is my prayer. Hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. My brothers and my sisters, every time I come here, there's always something new going on, and I don't want to go through what's going on, but we all know we're somehow, everyone thinks it's chaotic, but I think we're moving towards something. We're moving towards something, and every day, it's unknown territory. So as for me, and my decision is that I move to the book that is the end of all books, is the book of Revelations, the book of the Apocalypse. If we are almost at the end, everyone is saying, what does the end say? Where we find a word from God to say, this is what God wants his people to know. In Revelation chapter 5, at verse 1 is where we'll start. We'll read 10 verses in there, and then we'll find a word for the people of God. If this is God, then hear his words to you. When you get it, say amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 5, starting at verse 1, hear these words. And I saw the right hand of him who sat on the throne, a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll, to loose its seal? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll, to loose its 7 seals. And I looked and beheld in the midst of the throne and in the 4 living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it were slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are 7 spirits of God, which are out of all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You want to underline that. That's beautiful. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open the seal, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and out of every tongue and people and nation. I'll read that again because it's powerful. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and every tongue and every nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and shall reign on earth. Someone say amen. If I had to put a title to the text, I'm going to call this one, No Matter What. There's a story of a little boy and a little girl. Most likely this little girl, her name is Emily. She was 5 years old. The little boy was 7 years old. Emily was very, very special. Beautiful little girl you ever want to see. Curliest little hair, brown little eyes, and just a smile that would just make you melt. But Emily had a rare blood disease. And there was only one person in the world who had the same blood type as she did, and that was her brother, Jacob. And Jacob was 7, and Jacob loved Emily. And the doctor had to explain to Jacob that we need your blood. And so Jacob said, it doesn't matter. Give Emily all my blood. It doesn't matter. And the doctor said, no, we're not going to take all your blood, but some of it. He's like, nah, don't worry about it. Just take all my blood if Emily's going to live. So as they were going forward, the blood transfusion started. Mom and dad are crying because they couldn't believe what was going on. And any of you know, if you've ever done a blood transfusion, eventually when the blood starts coming out of your body, you become cold. The little boy started crying and saying, this is when I die.
And his mother's like, no, you're not going to die, Jacob. And he says, it's okay. I'll give all my blood for Emily, like I said. And if you think that's special, Christ gave all of his blood for you to live. Come with me now to the last book of the Bible. There's 66 books. And this last book is the most special book because it tells the story of mankind. What happens in the end? And it really shows that everyone in this room has to have one thing, and that's faith. Faith is total confidence in God. I'll use an example of faith. You're sitting on it right now. Is anyone worried about the chair you're sitting on? Can your chair hold you? That's what faith should do. You should be able to jump, sit on your faith, stand on your faith. Faith should be able to carry you in all seasons. That's what real faith is. We open up the book of Revelation when the Apostle John was given an assignment to write what was going to happen. The end of times. The apocalypse is nothing but the revealing or the revelation of what's going to happen. He was assigned to write what was going to happen. He wrote in verses 1 and 2 saying Jesus is Alpha and Omega. But then he wrote about these seven churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And talk about all these different churches and what made them all special. And he wrote that. Then he comes to chapter 5 where there's a stoppage. He can no longer write. But that was his assignment. His assignment was to write what the end's going to be. But what happens when you can't do what God asks you to do? This is my first point, if there was one. The saddest day in the life, in your life, is when you realize that you'll be praying to heaven, but sometimes heaven doesn't always respond. The saddest day in your life is when you realize you can pray as much as you want, but there are times that heaven hears, but doesn't respond. Where do I get that from? Verse 1 through 4. And I saw the right hand of him who sat on the scroll, who sat on the throne. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and back on the seal. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming, it is the angel who said it in a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll? The angel was the one who said, who is worthy? And there was no one on earth, in the earth, under the earth to open it. And the Bible says he wept. Heaven is the only place on earth where you should not have tears. I present to you tears in heaven. There's a problem. No one ever predicts people crying in heaven. But this is not just any person crying. This is the Apostle John. John is the only one who walked with Christ. He was the one who, the beloved of Christ. It is the one who was there through everything Christ went through every miracle. He was one of the three who went up there when Christ went to go, when he went to go pray. And even when Christ went to the cross, Jesus' mother went with this man. He was the one who was handpicked to be selected to see heaven. There is no one like him. But even in heaven, he realizes there's a problem. And he wept. And this is where it comes down to. Who's worthy? Is Abraham worthy? Moses worthy? David worthy? Is Billy Graham worthy to open the scroll? Is Abraham Lincoln, Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Kennedy? Who's worthy? Something has been lost in humankind that we don't want to admit. That we lost something. And if you were to go back to Genesis 3, you'll find out what we lost. And Genesis 3, it tells the story of when man fell. Verse 1 says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animals and the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God say you must eat, not eat of the fruit in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, you may eat of any fruit of the garden of the tree. But God said, you must not eat of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden or you will surely die. And he said, you will not surely die, but you will be like God. And so she ate it. And verse 14 out of Genesis 3 is one of the most powerful verses you'll ever read if you want to underline that. And the Lord said to the woman, what have you done? Something changed after that moment. you can tack on Luke 4:5 and Satan met Christ. And you'll realize in 4:5, Satan met Christ. Christ was doing being tested 40 days, 40 nights. And all of a sudden, Satan offered him, he says, he presented him on a high mountain. He says, I present to you the cities and the world's capitals. I'll give all of them to you. But how did Satan get them? The great fall. And Christ said, get thee behind me, Satan. But then Christ would have to go back later on. And then you go to John 19:30. What he'd end up saying, the seven last word, he'll say, it is finished. But no matter what, something happened. Something happened in the garden that affected this text today. Something happened in the Garden of Eden where Christ had to die on the cross to come back. But even now, we run into a problem. Should Christians cry? Do Christians cry? If we pray, shouldn't God answer our prayers? Should God answer our prayers? Every time I'll be honest with you, as a man, the one thing I'll never tell people that I don't like crying. I used to think that men cried because they're weak, but I realized men and women cry because they're tired of being strong. You know what that's like? Every day you have to keep on taking it and taking it and taking it, and you smile about it, and you just smile, and you smile through it. But eventually, what do? You go in a little room where no one can see you, and you cry. You can curl up in a ball. Or just sometimes you walk in the wilderness and you just shout, why is this happening to me? You have a man in heaven, the most sacred place, and he's still not safe. Because even there's a problem. This is one of the saddest things I ever read. He didn't start it. It was the angel who cried. The angel said, who's worthy? And there was none. Let me get to you my second point. And it's really powerful, and I hope it helps you, because I know, have you ever cried before? You can't explain things, but this is my point. Just like night turns to day, weeping can turn to joy if you hold on. Would you mind clapping for that? Where do I get that from? I get that from verse 5-7. But one of the elders says, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, of the root of David, has prevailed to open and loosen the seal. And I looked and beheld in the midst of the throne, the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb that was slain. I want to let you know something, that even in heaven, God, everyone doesn't know what's going on in heaven. Everyone in heaven doesn't know what's going on. That's crazy. I mean, everyone in heaven, you think they know what's going on, but I realize something. God is surprising people in heaven. Their secrets. God has secrets from everyone does not know what's going on. And that is so good, because you see, sometimes you see things you don't understand. Sometimes you say things you don't understand. Sometimes you don't know what's going on. But can I bless you? God knows what's going on. Can I bless you? Isn't that funny? Because you may think your best day could be really be your worst day. Your worst day really could be your best day. You really don't know it. Because guess what? There's some things that are hidden from you, but guess what? You still have to trust. Guess who you still have to trust? Someone in this room, no matter what's going on in your life, you are going to have to learn to trust who? I'm going to learn to trust God with everything I have. I bless you, because guess what? The elder says, don't weep, because there's a lion that was slain from the tribe of Judah. The elder saw a lion. But when John saw, he saw a lamb. It's funny. The elder saw a lion. John didn't see a lion. He saw a lamb. And I realized God comes to you whichever way he needs to. If you need money, what will he come as? A provider, right? If you're sick, right? What will he come as? A healer, right? If you need comforting, what will he come as? A comforter. I love a God that can be everything to everybody at the same time. Isn't it healer? Master. Savior, Lord, King. I love it. Waymaker, doorway, Alpha and Omega. I love a God. I don't know about you. Does that make you feel good? Everything you need is in God. It's like a one-stop shopping. Oh, my God. One stop. Oh, well, come on, somebody. You've got to say that the God we serve, our God, is a mighty God. And everything we need, there is nothing we lack. When you go to God in prayer, you don't have to worry about piecemealing. I'm asking God for this, and I'm asking my sister for this, and I'm asking my brother for this. Can I bless you? All these things. One place. Oh, my God. He's a provider, a healer, a savior. He's everything. This is the beauty. But I realized something. You don't see that until you go through it. Whew. You don't see it. I'm going to put those chairs back later. I love the fact that through this text, I realize that everyone doesn't see God the same way. The elder saw a lion. John saw a lamb. What do you see when you see God? What do you see? But I pray you see that he's able to take care of all of your, he's able to take care of all of your needs. God is everything. And I realized something when I read the text. I thank God for elders. I thank God for people who've been in the battle for a little while. Has anyone been in the battle for a little while on the battlefield for Christ? Has anyone had gone through some things, just loved the Lord and just, hey, I've been through some things and God has kept me. If you know what I'm talking about, there's something about someone who says, I've been sick, but now I'm well. People left me, but I'm still whole. There's something about someone who's gone through something. There's something about someone who can say, I know God is a provider. Because I named this text, no matter what, because guess what happens? Someone in this room, no matter what happens, what are you going to be required to do? Hold on. Let me give you my last point. You're going to love this one. There are many battles that are not settled, but the one about Jesus being King of Kings is. There are many battles that are not settled. I'll give it to you. But the one about Jesus Christ being King of Kings is settled. I get that from verse 7. And now he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And now when he taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down and they worshiped. We may argue about the Vietnam War. We may argue about World War I, World War II. We may even argue about the elections of 2020, the elections of 2024, the elections of 2085. I could care less. But guess what? The battle over is Jesus Christ King of Kings, is that settled? Can I get an amen? I want to clap with that one. Is Jesus Christ King of Kings? Can I settle that right now? That is settled. I want to bless you because I want to let you know something. This text is the reason why we have Amazing Grace. Write Amazing Grace down, please. Because that word will bless you. It is only in this text you'll realize Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It is the sound when they found someone who was found. And he, the one who they found Christ. There was none worthy. I used to think, and this is my ignorance, I thought only I needed Christ. But when I realized the angels were crying, the angels need Christ. But not just the angels. The Bible says that once Christ took the scroll, the four living creatures fell down and worshiped, the 24 elders came down to worship, and then 1,000 times 1,000 angels came to worship, then 10,000 times 10,000 angels came to worship, then on top of that, all of creation came to worship. What am I saying? Everything that you can possibly see needs Christ. Everything needs Christ. The trees need Christ. The dogs need Christ. The birds need Christ. Christ is everything. There is nothing more important than Christ. There's nothing. There is nothing under the sun, under the heavens, in the heavens. There is nothing. I realize now why you can really sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. If Christ was not able to take the scroll, we would all be bound for hell. I present to you what worship should be. Does anyone ever say thank you, God, for everything? Just thank you. Thank you. Just thank you. You don't know what? Just thank you. You can't thank him enough for everything. Thank you for the air I breathe. Thank you for the feet that I have. Thank you for the clothes. Thank you for my mother. Thank you for my father. Thank you for this brother here. Thank you for this sister here. Thank you for this. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I understand now why the angels in heaven say, holy, 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 holy. Because guess what? He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. There is something about knowing who God is. You see, you are being distracted by the world, and you're letting the world distract you when Christ is worthy of your praise 24 hours a day. The children you have, thank you. For the job you have, thank you. For the feet you have, thank you. For the health you have, thank you. For the eyes you have, thank you. For the heart you have, there's nothing. Would you mind standing up? We're going to praise God. Can somebody give God praise? Can you just praise God? Should I just thank God? Just say, I thank God, I thank God, I thank God. Is there anybody grateful to God? This text is the only text that shows God's grace. I can't explain it. I want you to know there's three things you have to know. God is beyond worthy. He is the Lion of Judah. He is the Root of David. He is the Great I Am. He is Alpha and Omega. But more than that, he is your Savior. He did die on the cross. I used to ask myself the question, why should Christ have to die? And you get the answer now. Did Buddha die on the cross? Did Muhammad die on the cross? Did Biden die on the cross? Did Trump die on the cross? Did Martin Luther King die on the cross? There is none more worthy than Christ. My God, our God, we worship Christ. We worship Christ. We don't worship other men. We don't worship anyone else. Why? Because there's only one Christ. Christ did something for you that no one else could do. Do not let anyone take the place of Christ in your heart. Your children didn't die for Christ. There's one Christ, one Savior for your soul. If you let that go, you are bound for hell. That's what this is about. Someone say, never let go. Never let go. Genesis 32:30 tells the story of a man named Jacob. And you know the story of Jacob. Jacob had a battle with an angel. I'm closing now. He battled with an angel day and night. No, night, all night long. And the angel said, let me go. And he says, I will not let you go until you bless me. The angel touched his socket and he dislocated it. But guess what Jacob didn't do? The Bible never records him letting go. What am I telling you? No matter what happens, I won't let go. No matter how much pain I go through, I won't let go. It is the person who says, I will not let go, who will make it to heaven. It will be the person that says, I'm not letting go. 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 I am not letting go. It is that one man or woman that has made up in their mind, I will never let Christ go. It's 2022. Our world in chaos. Sickness is everywhere. People are fighting. People are hating each other. But I got a question for you. Will you let go? Will you let go? The question is, what profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? The devil is after your soul. There has to be someone that'll say, I won't let go. I don't care what happens. I don't care what happens. I don't care what. Devil, you can forget it. I'm never letting Christ go. I invite you now to come pray. Hey, somebody. I want to pray about the world. I want to pray about the situation. I want to pray that people do not let go. Your life is based on one thing. Did you hold on? It's not your job. It's not her. If you let Christ go, you were the one who let him go. It has nothing to do with him. At best, halfway good. At best. The question really is, what will you give up for your soul? What can the devil put in your life to make you say, I give up? Or have you made up your mind yet? I don't care what happens. I don't care who comes, who goes. I don't care who stays. I don't care how sick I get. It will have to be a person who's made up their mind. And once you made up your mind, it's easy. It's easy. Has anyone made up their mind yet? Have you made up your mind yet? Are you going to hold on? Are you going to let go? Are you going to hold on? Hey, somebody! Can you grab somebody's hand? We're going to make a circle. We're going to pray out of here. We're going to make a circle. We always make a circle because guess what? It's the circle the devil's trying to break. It's the circle. It's the circle. It's the circle. The devil's trying to break your circle. He's trying to break your confidence. He's trying to break your circle. It's your circle. The Bible is based on a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. God made a pact with you in Genesis. Let us make man in our image. And he said it was good. Are you sure? Is it bad now? Has it gotten bad because of issues? Can anything break your relationship with God? I want you to remember this sermon. No matter what happens from this point on, say it in your spirit. I will not let go. That's what your life is based on. When the book of life is opened, the final thing that will be written down, did not let go. Welcome, my good and my faithful servant, for you are faithful over a few things. You have one thing to do. One thing. One thing, not five. You have one thing to do on this earth, and that is to hold on. Do not be confused by anything else. You have one job. Keep the faith. Can we pray? Sure. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, God, because there's so many things battling folks in this circle to make them want to think about other things. God, our world is in turmoil. But Lord, we pray right now, God, we pray, we pray, we pray. We pray, God, that you keep our minds straight. God, there's nothing more important than you. You are the rising of the sun. You are the setting of the sun. You are our star. You are our moon. You are our light. Father God, I pray, God, I pray, God, I pray, God. We'll keep you first. To God be the glory for the rest of our lives. It's not our children. It's not our jobs. It's not our spouses. It's you, Christ. Christ we live in. Christ we die. I realize why Paul said it. The Lord is all I have. Because in the end, if you are not first, we are not yours. So, Father God, we pray that we put you first. We pray, God, in everything we do that you be glorified, that you be magnified, that everything that we do be weighed over this one compass. Is God pleased? Is God pleased? Is God pleased? How we love people, how we care for people, how we stand up for what's right, how we refuse to accept what's wrong. Is God pleased? You've never stopped watching us. And one day we will be judged by how we've acted. On this day we pray for strength. Strength for the journey home. There's so many things trying to make us not be who you called us to be. Our feelings betray us. We are not our feelings. We are servants of God. We serve the Lord. That's all we do. Day in and day out. We don't have a preference. Whatever God wants, that's what we want. We serve the Lord. It's not a color. It's nothing. It's nothing but a desire to please God. It's all we desire. And one day, the heavens will open. You will call the dead first, and then you will call those who are living. And on that day, we will meet you in the clouds. And then there will be a day of judgment that everyone will be asked the same question. What did you do with the life that I gave you? Life is a gift from God, and it will be judged by God. So today, Father, we ask for strength for the journey, that we can keep our minds clean and we cannot be confused about all the issues, because the issues never change. It's always something to distract us from being servants of the Most High God. God, you gave us this life. You've given us everything we have. And now, Father, we want to say we give it all back to you, that everything we have, we use it in service to you. Bless us now, as we have to live in this world, but we are not of this world. We are heaven bound. We are the angels yet walking around on earth that have not been called home. We are ambassadors of a kingdom that is yet to come. Bless us today as we have to live and breathe in a world that is wicked, but we refuse to give up the gospel. This is our prayer, that we would be pleasing to you and no one else. May the world hate us, but God love us. May all men be a liar, but God be true. For today, this is the only thing we can use, that we run by. We live by your word. We look forward to the saints to gather together, for we find our strength in our unity, not in our division. There is one gospel, one God. Bless us today. This is our prayer in the only name we know, in Jesus' name. Amen. If God has blessed you, can you praise him?
Amen.